This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. I'm your host, Joe Fisher. Is it Rashad Taylor?
Close.
Rashard?
Drop the R in the end.
Rashad Taylor, get it right. It's not hard.
There it is.
It's not hard. All right, Rashad Taylor.
It's not hard, but, you know, I guess it is. Some people.
Well, when you add extra letters that aren't there, then yes, you're going to screw up a name. Is it Jordan Schultz?
We'll go with that.
Jordan Schultz across the glass. We were doing football stuff, mostly for the first half. Super Bowl things, looking at the teams that were in it, what the future looks like for them. Wanted to look at some quarterbacks, though, and what the future looks like for them, because we got a few different quarterback updates and news and alerts this morning about some veterans. By the way, I don't know if you guys have gone and looked at like the free agents for quarterbacks this offseason. Woof. It is rough. Like, very rough. This is one of the worst free agent classes for quarterbacks I feel like I've seen in a long time. Outside of Sam Darnold, who, right, again, if that is your, like, if that is the top player.
If Zach Wilson is the second player on the board as
well,
far
and
as...
I think that is that list that you popped up, because I saw this earlier this week, is based off of what they made last year. And so SpotRack has, yeah, Zach Wilson second because he made the second most money in 2024 out of quarterbacks on this free agency list. But again, that goes to show the how dire this quarterback free agency class is. Sam Darnold, actually, SpotRack has a really cool feature where they can give you a calculated market value of what quarterbacks should earn on their next contract. And Sam Darnold is projected around that $40 million mark. But there was a few news and notes about quarterbacks. The first one, and this has been kind of coming out since Super Bowl weekend, is that Aaron Rodgers will not be coming back to the New York Jets. They do not want him. Apparently, he begged and pled that he wanted to come back to the New York Jets, and they say, we're good. And quite frankly, I think he's done. Like, who wants to go into the Aaron Rodgers business at this point in time in his career? What teams that need a quarterback? If you look at cap space and who has money to spend, my buddy Tanner, who I do a podcast with, we were talking about it earlier this week, and as far as teams with money to spend, he's like, well, Vegas, they have money. I'm like, boy, as a new head coach, Pete Carroll, if you are going in there talking about how we're going to change the culture, the quickest way to lose that culture after getting the job is to being like, hey, boys, we're going to change the culture. We're going to change how we do things around here, the Las Vegas Raiders organization. Here's our quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
They like, desperately need one, though. It's better than need no call.
Oh, and I get it. But
Gardner Minshew, man.
And that is the question is, where would you rather be looking somewhere else or Aaron Rodgers? Because another quarterback that is possibly on the move to another team, that's if he doesn't go back to the Steelers, is that the New York Giants and the Las Vegas Raiders are current teams that could be interested in Russell Wilson services. We could get a Russell Wilson Pete Carroll reunion in Las Vegas. How about that? I'd be down.
That could work for a few different, you know, a few different reasons, but
in a few weeks.
Yeah, you know, just for a little bit, but I don't know. I think there's some teams out there that Aaron Rodgers would definitely love to have Aaron Rodgers. One of which, like you just mentioned, is the New York Giants. You know, they're in a spot to where they're pretty desperate. And I think they
go from the New York Jets to the New York Giants.
I mean, honestly, like which one of these younger teams I'm not going to say none of them are really set up to be great right now. I think probably of all the teams that need a quarterback, probably the Colts are the ones that are the closest to being good right now.
If the Colts go to another old quarterback after going the Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan route, and then they're finally like, hey, you know, we should draft this Anthony Richardson guy. Okay, let's go back to another 40-year-old quarterback, please.
Yeah.
I mean, because if anything, roll with Anthony Richardson one more year and then go into the draft class next year looking for something else.
Like, how poetic would it be if he ended up with – if Aaron Rodgers ended up in a Vikings uniform? If Sam Darnold gets money somewhere else, which is plausible considering the year he had, if he gets money somewhere else, is it crazy to believe that, again, I just mentioned the Colts, probably the next in line as far as teams that are set up to be good right now, it's probably the Vikings, you know, or it's definitely the Vikings considering the year they had. So you throw an Aaron Rodgers in that mix, like, he's definitely supposed to have been Brett Favre.
As far as cap space goes, also looking at this, I mean, the Colts have $31 million to work with. You know, you can free up more space, obviously, you know, cutting some dudes. But right now, yeah, they have $31 million to work with in the offseason. Vegas has over $95 million. Again, looking at some of these teams on here, Minnesota's got $61 million, but you can imagine that they're going to tie up Darnold with that. I mean, I think that there's two things with the Darnold equation here. It's like, you just had your best season ever with Kevin O'Connell and this team, and if they're willing to give you $40 million over 3 years, take it, dude.
Yeah,
you were
don't
just
be dumb. Yeah. Don't be dumb. You were just in the bottom of the list as far as quarterbacks. We were making jokes about Sam Darnold and how bad he was, you know, as a pro.
Like, so I'm not even like, maybe I'll be like, all right, let's see what some other teams have to say. But no. I mean, at that point, I would be hard pressed if I was Sam Darnold, be like, oh, man, I don't know. I think I can make, dude, just take the money and run.
The best contract you're getting is a Geno Smith type of deal, right? You're getting a maximum of 3 years, which means two of those years are going to be guaranteed. The third one's going to be kind of questionable. They'll be able to get out of it by then. But you're basically, I don't think anyone's going to give you more than 40 or 50 million guaranteed if you're Sam Darnold.
I say my number is a hard stop at 40 with Sam Darnold. Maybe 42 and a half.
Yeah, the contract would be like 40. 60 or 70, but it'll be 40. Yeah,
it'll be or 20 more with incentives.
I'll give you 3 years at $40 million, and you know, run with that. I think it is very, like you said, very similar to the Geno Smith situation. Like, dude, you were a backup. Like, you were an afterthought to a lot of teams. You came here, you got the right situation, you got the right coach, right system, you got a great number one and number two receiver, and a really good tight end, and Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and Tyler Hawkinson. Like, we got a pretty solid defense. Let's run this back.
Sometimes it's like that, though. Like, sometimes you end up, especially if you're really good and you're a high draft pick like, you know, Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or, you know, one of those guys, and you go to a team that's kind of crap and you're set up to not be great. And so maybe the second team that actually gives you an opportunity, or the third team, you know, maybe that's when you really start to shine. That was kind of Geno Smith's thing. Like, he just kind of rotted for a while. And then once he got his opportunity to show that he can play, it's like, okay, Geno's okay. He's not Kurt Warner or anything like that. But yeah, Geno can come in here and win you some games if necessary. So I think that's all you're looking for as a team that needs a quarterback is, man, who's going to be able to win us some games? You know, late game, tied up, down seven, you know, who's going to be able to drive us down the field and get us in the end zone?
Well, one of those quarterbacks that could be available via trade, actually, that is Matt Stafford. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler saying that his current contract is untenable to be able to be under its current terms for this team moving forward. So if they can't restructure his contract, the Rams very well could be looking to move on from Matt Stafford. And then at that point, if you are a Raiders, if you are a Giants, if you are a Colts, you know, if you are a team that does need a quarterback, then you're calling LA. I would think that the Giants, you're going to end up with either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. You're desperate for a quarterback. You're desperate for young talent. And I
bless those young men.
How I think the draft is going to work out is you're going to go number one, Cam Ward. Number two is going to be either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, the D end out of Penn State, which with the Cleveland Browns, possibly trading Miles Garrett, yeah, you're going to need to get an edge rusher. So yeah. I could very well see Travis Hunter falling to your Patriots at the number four.
Oh boy, that would make it all worthwhile. if the Patriots somehow
to get Troy Brown 2.0.
Yeah. Hey man, Travis Hunter, if things don't work out offensively, we'll make him a corner. Go for it.
So, that's some of the quarterbacks that some news around them that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's trying to find anybody that wants to take him at this point, which, again, if I'm a GM, if I'm a coach, I'm just like, dude, we're good.
I think it's going to be the Vikings. This is Brett Favre 2.0.
Absolutely not. Again, if you want to lose a culture in a locker room, bring in Aaron Rodgers at this point in his career. We're good. We're good here, bro. Russell Wilson, again, he might be looking for a new home. Or how about this? Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin, he's done pretty good with personalities in his career, right?
I mean, if they don't treat him like a god, if they don't do what the Broncos did with Russ, if they don't do what they did in New York, and I'm not saying they gave him an office in New York, but they gave him a lot of control over stuff and a lot of input on personnel moves. Like, if Aaron Rodgers is actually willing to do that, that's kind of the other part of that equation, right? Can you go in? Russell Wilson was able to eat it, put his tail between his legs and say, all right, I'm going to play football. Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old. In his mind, he doesn't have to put up with this crap. And frankly, we don't have to put up with his crap either. So,
all right. Moving along from the NFL to All-Star Weekend. But I don't know if it's the All-Star Weekend that you think I'm talking about, Rashad. We get to that next year on Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What an all-star weekend.
Yeah, man.
I mean, the fact that we got 3 fights in 9 seconds.
Whoa, what all-star weekend are we talking about?
Oh.
No. Oh, that's right. That one.
Gotcha. Yeah, come on. The Battle of the Four Nations, my man.
Can you explain this
honestly,
to me?
I don't know if this is actually their all-star weekend now, but...
I need you to explain this to me, to quote Isaac Ropp, like I'm 5, because I have no idea what the whole Four Nations thing is. I didn't know that that was
Is this a new thing?
Yeah, the World Baseball Classic or something? Like, what is this? This isn't the World Cup. This isn't the Olympics. What the hell are we doing with this Four Nations? I'm not against it. I just don't know what it is.
I don't know either, quite frankly. This is not the NHL All-Star Weekend. It kind of, sort of has that feel to it because, again, it's very like, hey, these are the best players from these 4 different countries. I believe it is USA, Canada, Finland, and God, I don't even know who the fourth nation is. I know they did not want...
Iceland like the Mighty Ducks?
No. No, it was not Iceland. They did not get the boys from Reykjavik.
Okay, CNN out. Says this is the first best-on-best tournament to feature NHL players since the 2016 World
Cup
of Hockey.
And Sweden, excuse me, the Swedes.
The Swedish.
USA, Canada, Finland, and Sweden. But last night, we got USA versus Canada. I don't know if you've been seeing this lately, too, during the national anthem when it takes place in Canada, whether it is a Toronto Raptors game or a Montreal Canadiens game. If the national anthem is being sang in Canada, it's getting booed. Just roundly, just the whole Canadian audience that is there for that game when they do the U.S. national anthem.
That's
it's
rude.
Just, well, you
That's
know.
Rude.
I think they have a reason to be pretty pissed at
Kendrick and Drake.
Yes, exactly. They are fully
still
in support,
mad about that.
They're full in support of Drake. That's why they're booing the U.S. national anthem.
Come on, man.
And then last night was the USA Canada matchup of the four nation face off, and 9 seconds in to the game, three different fights went down.
Let's go.
I mean, it stole the
smoke
show.
On sight.
Stole the show of the All-Star weekend, which was the NBA's All-Star weekend, which at this point is a complete farce.
Unless there's a fight in one of these games today, like, I'd be okay.
Let's do
with,
it!
Yeah,
I'd
seriously.
Be okay with, like, the young boys, you know, squaring up with the vets today.
Well,
that'd
this
awesome.
Is, you know, there's a lot of problems with the NBA, but one of the criticisms in today's NBA is that everybody's cool with each other. There's no beef. There's no competitiveness. There's no fire to want to beat someone else because
they're all homies.
I'll just go join them next year.
This is the AAU mentality they have in basketball now. They all played together in high school and middle school. They all know each other. They were at tournaments together over the summers. They were at camps together over the summers. They were roommates and stuff like that. So, yeah, this is a very AAU mentality that we play.
Also getting paid so much now. The All-Star Game used to offer incentives. Like, even when we were kids, it was an incentive enough for these guys to, like, want to compete against each other, but now they think, I'm not trying to sound like an ass, but they think they're better than fans that watch them and get their salaries paid because they're like, well, we're making $40 million a year, so what does it matter?
Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say, the whole weekend, first it starts on Friday night with the celebrity game.
No celebrities.
Which used to be fun.
I looked at the rosters this morning. I knew of four names on there.
It's all social media stars, probably.
Hey, listen, I love me some Drewski. All right, Drewski's hilarious. Yeah. He is a national treasure. Right,
yes, he is.
He can do whatever he wants. But then there was the Kai Cenat, who's a streamer. Noah Kahan, which is he's a country-ish singer. And outside of that,
WWE. I knew Bailey.
Oh, okay, I do know who she is. So she was in that game. Again, that game is completely pointless at this point.
It was fun when they had celebrities in it. The Justin Timberlakes. And the
Secretary
Kevin
of Education.
Like, he was killing that year, though.
He was
killing.
He did.
And then you go into yesterday's action, which I got to say, this has got to be the first All-Star weekend where I didn't watch any part
not
of it.
Not even a piece of it.
Not one piece of it.
I was at home. And my wife went to this thing for this organization that, you know, she used to be a part of when she was younger. And I was at the house, bored, and was like, man, what's on TV? I saw the skills competition, and Chris Paul, I'm always trying to defend him because I think Chris Paul is a great player, but just he just goes to show why everybody hates him because
the lack of respect to the storied tradition that is the skills competition. Unbelievable.
Stupid.
Or just the game of basketball and the position that you're in. Screw the skills competition itself. You are given this gift.
The 3-point contest is always exciting because
if you didn't see the skills competition, though, for the listeners, though, like Victor Wembanyama and Wembanyama and Chris Paul, when it came to the 3-point shooting part of it, they literally just grabbed the ball out of the rack and just like threw it forward 5 feet as quick as possible. Like, regardless of making it, like, they clearly didn't care about making a 3-pointer because it's all based off of your time and how quickly you can go through the obstacle course, if you will. And so when it got to the 3-pointers, they literally just grabbed the ball, let it go, grabbed the ball, let it go, and just got through that part, which they ended up getting disqualified for. Also, the security guard wouldn't let Ali LaForce interview Chris Paul and Victor Wembanyama.
Did you hear them cut her mic off when she was talking about why they wouldn't be able to go over there and interview? And
like just stupid.
And
like
we're done with that.
Like, all right, why are we? Why are we doing this? Why are we acting this way? Just dumb. Skills competition, just dumb.
Scrap it.
Yes. The 3-point competition, everybody says that has now surpassed the slam dunk competition.
It should be the main event.
To me, I will never agree with that because I feel like the slam dunk competition, the one way that you can save this is by getting dudes to participate in it that have played more than 5 NBA games in their career.
I know. Mac McClung by technicality, is an NBA player because he's on a two-way contract.
I love Mac McClung.
I don't.
I have known him since his high school days, slam dunk highlight reels in high school. He went to Georgetown, balled out there. I love me some Mac McClung. He is 5 foot nothing, seemingly. He's probably actually like 6'1", but jumping over cars. The dunks he pulls off is amazing. But you need to start getting the Ja Morants. You need to start getting whoever that actually has a name that makes people want to watch rather than Matas Bazulis.
He's not, Mac McClung is not a true NBA player. I'm sorry, by technical definition, he is, but he played 5 minutes in, I believe, game one of the Orlando Magic season, guys, and then got sent down to the G League, and I'm assuming they brought him back up right before the All-Star game, put him on the roster to sit for a game, and now he's here winning the dunk competition. This is ridiculous. Fact that Adam Silver looks at this and is like, oh yeah, that's fine,
cool, but the fact is that young man, again, for the third straight year, saved the dunk contest because the way it started was like, this is going to be bad. This is about to be bad. And then here comes Daddy Mac out there, and he was put on a show. Again, like, he jumped over he didn't do the Blake Griffin where he jumped over the hood.
Oh, no. Over the top of the car.
He jumped over the top of the car and a person that was sticking out of the sunroof and did a reverse dunk. Like,
again, his dunks, like, he's put on some of the best dunk. First-time three-peat champion in the contest, by the way. So, I mean, all props to him and what he can pull off because it's amazing. But it's one of those where it was like, all right, cool the first year. Let's see if he can repeat. All right, we're done here.
Because I don't think you need to be an NBA star because this competition can make stars. We didn't know who Zach LaVine was. He played, but we didn't know who Zach LaVine was. Let's just be honest. And then he came to the dunk contest, and we were like, holy hell.
But this, to me, it's like,
this dude.
This is like finding a street baller on Saturday and saying, hey, come the next week. Like, if you want to have like a pro-am competition for dunkers on top of an NBA slam dunk competition, sure. That's kind of where I feel like at this point Mac McClung belongs, as opposed to, like, I'm shocked that we allow two-way players to participate in this kind of thing. I'm shocked that we don't have... Yeah, I know that, but I'm shocked that we don't have a minimum or rules, like saying, like, hey, we have that set for qualifying for awards, right? Like, first All-NBA team, you have to play a certain amount of games, or to qualify for, you know, points per game leader, I think Dame had to get to a certain number before the Blazers sat him, you know, when he was leading All-NBA scores a few years ago before they traded him. Why is that not the same with appearing in these things in the All-Star game?
The only thing they can do is say the only way you can participate in the dunk contest is to be an All-Star. That's the only way we're going to get those guys to participate.
Like,
if you want to be in the dunk contest, you've got to be an All-Star. And typically, you're going to be a first 1-3 year All-Star at that point.
I'm cool with them even going like, hey, three of the spots are going to be reserved for an All-Star, and then we're going to have like a wild card, which could be a non-All-Star, but like is a Shaden Sharp, is someone that clearly has ups. A Jalen Green, who was in it a couple of years ago. But again, he's shown that he is now one of the better players in the league.
Shaden didn't even get a call, by the way, for the dunk competition.
We love the three-point competition is because the stars are still in it. Dame was in it last night. Jalen Brunson was in it last night. Tyler Hero was in it last night. Like, these are guys that are going to play in the All-Star game later on tonight. And it's like those are the guys that are a part of the competition. So, yes, I want to watch and see what happens at the end of the night. Now, mind you, maybe Jason Capono goes on and wins, but I know at least Ray Allen was in it, and Allen Iverson was in it, and so, okay, gives me reason to come back and watch, but there's no real reason for me to watch a dunk contest now unless Mac McClung is going to participate.
Well, we might get saved next year, because after last night's
He's
dunk contest,
be an all-star.
Ja Morant tweeted out, Mac might... a tongue twister here. Say this five times fast. Ja Morant tweeted out, Mac might make me decide to dunk. And then Giannis retweeted it and said, if you do it, I'll do it with you.
Remember the year LeBron was like, and I forget, I think it was the Zach LaVine year or something like that. LeBron was like, I'm preliminarily putting my name in the dunk contest for next year, and then never did it.
Yeah, sure.
Like, so guys say it all the time, like, man, I should do it next year and everything. But I think after Vince, like, they're... And now after
Dwight Howard. Like, I think for a few years, Dwight Howard.
Dwight
and then
made
Blake
it fun
Griffin.
Again. Dwight, yeah. And because he was in competition at that point with, you know, with Nate Robinson. Again, if you're not going to be an all-star, you got to be a character. You got to be somebody that we want to see do this. And then you have this juxtaposition with super big-ass Dwight Howard and super small-ass Nate Robinson. Okay, I want to see this. This is gonna be great. So unless they can get those personalities out, which I don't really know if that's going to happen anytime soon, I think the dunk contest is going to be what it is for a while.
Well, also one way to incentivize some of these all-star players is the almighty dollar. But you would have to make the winning prize a substantial amount for any of them to ever consider doing that. And that's also where you're probably going to lose some people, is if you say it, the winner of the slam dunk contest gets $20 million.
Yeah. I mean, these salaries are already too high.
And that's what I'm saying is you'd have to make the incentive for a one-night event pretty damn high to make a player like Ja Morant or Giannis to even consider it.
They need to do that for the All-Star game, too. They need to do something to make sure. They've changed the structure of the All-Star game now for, like, four of the last 5 years. Since Kobe died, there was that weird, like, you gotta score 24 at the end to win and something like that. Like, there was that whole weird thing. Then they changed it again. Then they made it to where, like, there was no East and West. It's just all-stars.
Now, I don't even know what. I know they changed it this year to, like, four different teams that are doing a tournament or something like that. Like, to me,
corny. Just go out there and play hard. Like, why can't you go out there? You can go to Brickley's gym or wherever it is in the summer.
Oh, and Chris ball Brickley. Out. He was actually in the celebrity game, too.
Was he really?
Yes.
Was he killing? I didn't see it.
No.
Yeah.
They think they're better than fans, you guys. They think, you know what? This is below me. This All-Star game means nothing to me, and I'm going to show
Kobe got his nose broken
my superiors. I know, seriously. Back in the day, this used to be a competition. A real one.
Well, if you want to take some notes, look at just what happened last night between the nations facing off, USA and Canada. I've been saying it for a couple of years now, USA versus the world. Make it an international
contest. I do like that idea.
Let's go.
I mean, you want to have people actually playing and fighting for something. You see the Olympics, they get up for that when they're representing their nations. If you make it a USA versus international matchup, I think that you'd get a little bit more of fire and juice out of these guys wanting to win for USA or wanting to win for the rest of the world.
Yeah, because at this point, if it's USA versus international, I think we all know USA probably gets ran, you know, out of the gym in that game.
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah. That's what MLB does with their futures game. It's America versus the world. It's a good way to do it.
All right, let's take a break. But, man, the way that the rest of this Blazers season is going to play out, I might have changed my perception. I might be on the side of you, Rashad, now.
Don't want you over here.
I want some
Stay
wins.
Over there.
I want some dubs. I'll tell you what I mean next here on Sports Sunday. But first, Jordan Schultz, Sports Desk Update. Sports Sunday here on 1080 The Fan. And someone made a statement this week, Rashad, that made me completely change my mind about this Blazer season.
Oh, what'd they say?
Came from the mouth. The words were from Cooper Flagg of the Duke Blue Devils. I gotta find it because it was on The Athletic, I believe, where he said, "I want to come back next year."
I saw that. I think he might be trolling a little bit, but
No, trust me. I think it is in the best. I think it is the best decision, best thing for Cooper Flagg that he does not go into the NBA draft this year, that he holds off just one more year. Mostly because the Blazers now have no chance at trying to get that number one overall pick. And I shouldn't say no chance because technically, if you look at the lottery odds for the NBA, there is a chance that the Blazers. Their chances are very, very low at getting the number one overall pick, therefore getting Cooper Flagg. So I think it is in the best interest of Cooper Flagg to relish in his college experience, get some more NIL money, delay that second NBA contract by 1 year that's going to see him make like $300 million, and stay at Duke one more year. I think that's a wise choice, Cooper. I think that's definitely something that you should do. Please, for the love of God, please, please stay there one more year.
And we've talked about this before specifically with college football, how NIL is going to change the way a lot of young athletes look at the professional ranks. In the sense that it used to be, I go to the NBA or go to the NFL to get paid, right? Like, I need to go ahead and make my own money. These guys can sign NIL deals in high school. Right. So they don't need to wait until they're freshmen in college or sophomores in college. They can start making money right now. Currently, Cooper Flagg is one of the top 10 highest paid college athletes, and he's making $3 million right now. He stays on a college campus in Durham, where Duke is in
Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah, Durham. Yeah. So he's staying on the college campus. He's got tons of college shorties that are probably in his dorm room every other night.
Is he Mormon?
He ain't no. He ain't. If he's playing at Duke, you know, if he's one of those guys, man. Like if he's Big Cheese, you know, on campus, then I'm almost for certain that he's doing some ungodly stuff. Yeah, I'm just saying. Like I don't want to assume, but I'm gonna assume in this instance that Cooper Flagg is probably knocking a lot of stuff down.
Oh, he's in bed by 8 p.m. every night. What are you talking about?
Okay, in bed with tons of shorties around him, yeah. In bed with them. So I just think, honestly, it's one of those things. But he's a great kid. He's got a 4.10 GPA. Like, he's out of this world. He's obviously a great player. College is a great experience, man. I think we kind of forget, like, once you get to the NBA, this is work now. Everything I do is work. College, you're still working, but it's still fun. You're around people your own age. You're going to go to the NBA. You're going to be around dudes that are 35 years old on your team, 36 years old. This is the only time in your life, really, that you're going to be around people that are right around the same age as you all across the board. So it's not surprising that young kids want to stay in college, especially now that there's money to be made there and they don't have to rush going to the league to make $1 million.
With that all being said, there is zero chance in hell he goes back for another year.
No, he's not. He's not doing that.
But I saw that earlier this week that he was like, yeah, I'd love to come back for another year. I'd be like, please, trust me, it's the right decision, Cooper. For the love of God. Do not come out this year, all right?
If he could save the Blazers from looking like complete asses for sitting on the fence so far this year, and after their, 9-10 game winning streak, they just proceeded to lose 3 in a row, so they're kind of right back to losing again because, yeah, teams are actually going to be playing for the playoffs now, and I'm not sure that they're going to be able to compete at this point, so... I don't know. What's better for Portland at this point? Cooper Flagg giving them an out, that would be amazing, but does Portland ever get that lucky? Ever?
No.
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 I mean, this has been the most Blazers week ever where they win, or last couple weeks where they win 10 of their last 11 games. They do not make any moves at the trade deadline.
None.
And people also tend to forget that, those 6 wins that you just had were all at home. You had 6 straight home games, and they all happened.
You had a 7-game homestand, guys.
Yeah,
not one in Orlando.
No, it was 7 straight home games, and then you had you were on a little East Coast trip there where you got 3 of those 10 wins. But the last 6 games that you had played was at home where you got wins, and then you immediately go to Minnesota, lose by almost 20. You go to Denver, lose by 29 and give up 146 points, and then you play in Denver yet again and give up 132 points. Not only that, you have multiple players go down with injury, and a couple of those players were possible trade bait that you could have sent to other teams.
Yeah, but let's keep the veterans together, guys, playing for the playing, baby.
This is why I say, though, Cooper go back, because a lot of those contracts then turn into one-year deals next year that we can either trade in the offseason or in the middle of the year next year.
They become
and then
valuable.
The Blazers can suck and win only 15 games, and then Cooper Flagg is your number one overall pick for the Portland Trail Blazers.
I don't know. We're
in 2026.
I kind of feel like, and I totally understand where you guys coming from. I want to make sure I start by saying that. But the Blazers are predicted to win 23 games all year. They've won that by the All-Star break.
Okay, so what?
Like, hold on.
Okay,
one second.
Sorry.
Like,
I
get it. And I'm again not saying that they're going to go on this, you know, amazing run. But I mean, to end the season, you look at the schedule. It's a lot of winnable games in there. Now, is there some that look like they might be losses on paper? Yes, you got Luka and LeBron coming to town as your next game. That, on paper, looks like it might not be a great game. But then after that, you got Charlotte, Utah, Washington, Brooklyn, 4 winnable games. Cleveland, maybe not. Best team in the league right now, okay. Then you throw a Philly, Boston, OKC, Detroit. Like, you got some games in there that you can win. And so I'm saying what I want to see this team do.
Or lose.
Whatever. What I want to see this team do is be competitive. And what they showed over that win streak is that, yes, they can be competitive. Even on the road, they were able to win some. You went against a team in Denver that is a hot knife through butter. You don't have anything. You don't have anything to account for Jokic. You don't have anything to account for Jamal Murray. It's just what it is. They're a championship team. There's not much you can do right there. We are not a championship team yet.
You can be competitive and still lose.
That's fine. But what we've been seeing from the Blazers,
I'm gonna let you go,
Jordan. But what we've been seeing from the Blazers as of late, but prior to this, was
people watching rebounds bounce in front of them and not go show the effort to go get it. People just ole and letting people drive past them and get to the cup. People just not trying to get rebounds when they're close to the rim. Like, it's little stuff, those little effort things, not playing defense. It doesn't look like that's the case anymore. So if you're going to lose to a Denver and a Minnesota, I'm cool. I'm okay with that. They couldn't make shots in Minnesota at the end of the game. Okay. They went cold after 12 games of playing great. Not mad at that. Okay. All good. You played a great team in Denver twice at Denver, which is really hard to win. Not mad at that. You know what I mean? There's certain outliers in between there. I'm like, okay, I'm okay with that. I just want to see this young team be competitive. And what they've shown is they can be competitive right now. Like, well, are they going to do it? Is that going to mean a championship? Is that going to mean a deep playoff run? Probably not. But they can't be competitive.
They're rudderless, though, and I'll try to sum this up very quickly. I think the major frustration with me, and at least the smart fans out there that are complaining about the same thing, is that you heard them
look at,
say...
Look at Jordan, like me and the smart people out
yes,
there.
Yes, I'm going to put myself up on this hill because we heard from Joe Cronin, that they're going to go all in. So all in that they're going to be embarrassed by what they give up to put around Damian Lillard. Oh, then that's get pushed back because, well, they got the number three pick, and then they got to get Scoot Henderson, which is a great opportunity to do something for a franchise-changing player. So then they push that back another few months as far as getting other players for Dame. And then they trade Dame and say, well, we're going to get rid of this veteran team and blow the rest of it up. And then they push that back another 6 months. And now we're here after this last offseason where you could have gotten Jeremy Grant traded for what? A first-round pick and an ancillary piece. You said no because you wanted two. So then you pushed it back another 6 months. Then you still have everybody on your roster. And now we're hoping, basically, the last hope after Portland has pushed the can down the hill over and over again, that when they're on expiring contracts, Portland will finally move them. I have no faith this organization will do anything but sit on their hands.
Well, Rashadi pointed out their upcoming schedule and some of the teams that they'll be playing. Charlotte, Utah, Washington, Brooklyn, all teams below you in the standings. Those are some good opportunities for you to take some losses, for you to climb down the standings. Right now, the Blazers have the ninth. How do you say this? In the standings, they are ninth from the bottom. So
ninth best.
Yes, ninth best record or worst.
Oh, from the bottom. You're going from the bottom or the top?
Like Wizards, Pelicans.
Oh, ninth worst.
Ninth worst, rather. They're a game above the Bulls. They are 2.5 against the 76ers. They are 2.5 against the Nets. They are 6 above the Raptors. I mean, you got 30 games, essentially left 29 games, what have you. Still plenty of chances to climb down the standings. And I'm sorry, I just being competitive to me, that does nothing to me at this point and where this franchise is and where it needs to go. You can be competitive and still lose. You need to lose games. You need to build this team through a draft and get better draft picks, plain and simple.
But you're banking on something that's happened to the Blazers like twice in the last 40 years?
Twice
in the last like 45 years, 46 years, getting the number one pick?
I'd rather bank on that.
Did you play Mega Ball too? Did you play Mega Bucks? Because it's a lottery, right? Because it's the chances of getting that are minuscule for the Blazers.
But
right,
it's putting your chips into the spot where you literally have to grow your team. You can't through free agency.
Because then if you're going to go through free agency, you're going to have to overpay guys like Jeremy Grant, which you did, and that contract is just great now, right? Or you have to make trades. But guess what? You can't really make trades for great players unless you have a good core and a good foundation already set up. Again, I talked about this a couple weeks ago where teams that have good cores, good players, and good makeup are then able to add a veteran player to then tie it all together make a run.
And we have to wrap, but you don't get the first or second or third pick, then what?
Well, you screwed yourself out of that.
Tell me what's – no, it's because that's probably what's going to happen, more than likely, just based on Blazers history. So you don't get the first, second, or third pick, then what?
You get rid of the contracts that have 1 year left, like DeAndre Ayton. I believe Anthony Simons has 1 year left. And you run this thing into the ground with as competitive players as you have in Denny Avdija, in Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, Donovan Clingan, Tomani Kamara. Those are five players where I am fine with moving forward with those five, and then fill in the gaps everywhere else. Win 15 to 20 games going to next year's draft with the number one overall pick.
Hopefully, with the number one overall pick, right?
Or you
because you can have the worst record in the league.
Or your solution is to what?
play it out with what you have now. You're not. We're not.
And that's going to win a championship.
We're not getting a number one pick. We're not. It's not going to happen.
Well, we ain't winning a championship with this.
Well, we're closer to winning a championship than getting a number one pick. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
That's
not.
For sure.
That is absolutely.
We are
wrong.
Closer to winning a championship than getting a number
that
one pick.
That is 100%.
We will go into. We will win a championship before we get a number one pick.
No,
that's not happening.
No, we've actually gotten two number one picks
and
since
that was
winning
in 1975
a championship.
And 2007. So almost 20 years since the last time it's happened.
I mean, it was two, and one of them was the Jordan year, which was what 82, 83, something like that. So that happened after our first championship, and then we got another one after our championship. So we literally have better chances at getting number one overall pick than a championship. But we got to break. Speaking of crowning champions, we got to do that next year. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Well, that's it for this show. I really wanted this segment to be a little bit longer for my coronation as 2024-2025 Who Do You Love champion. I want to thank God first.
There you go.
Because that was my one winning bet last week.
There you go, baby. You go.
And I also did place that bet on DraftKings. Cash that, baby.
How much you cash out for that?
Oh, I mean, I bet like 10 bucks on it. So, I mean, won like 20 bucks, or something like that. Also bet the over on DK and got that as well. Thank you for Garbage Time Chiefs. Orange Gatorade Bath did not hit. Chiefs money line did not hit. That gives me a 28-25-1 record. Rashad, Dallas Goedert was on a good track to start the game. Two early catches, 27
yards. I was like, okay, I'm going to get that one.
And then nothing else. Taylor Swift only shown like once.
Twice
in the broadcast. Not much. Hit the under drastically. But your Eagles money line does hit. 20-30-1 on the year. Jordan, national anthem, barely hit the under.
That was close.
John and Baptiste. That was with Jon Batiste saying land of the free.
Over and over again. I think he was doing that for Vegas, baby. Damn, he's never done that before.
Kansas City does not cover. Saquon does not go over 111.5. 23, 29, and 2. Thank you all. I will be back next year to repeat as Who Do You Love champion. And Rashad, thank you as always for another Sunday.
Of course, man. Always fun, fellas.
Jordan, thank you for another Sunday.
Love you all.
And for all of you guys out there listening, appreciate the love, appreciate the text, the YouTube chat, all that. And we will catch you next Sunday for another round of Sports Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.